July the 10th presents yet another deadline for a nuclear deal with Iran. The United States is among the P5 plus one group of world powers trying to reach a deal with that country and its nuclear program.
But Jim, it's pretty clear, though, Congress is not sold on just rushing through an agreement. Iran's nuclear deal is just one of many issues Congress is grappling with. Joining a closer look to discuss all of this and some other happenings in Washington is Georgia Republican Senator Johnny Isakson. Senator Isakson, as always, thanks for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Great to be with you.
You know, Iranian leaders appear to be adamant, Senator, that sanctions be lifted right after an agreement, if one is reached, and that inspectors be barred from their military sites. And I take it that is an issue for Congress that they don't want in the agreement.
Well, it's typical Iranian policy. They never want to be held accountable for anything. They'll tell you one thing and do something else. You know, I learned in my business career a long time ago in Georgia that the best deals I ever made are the ones I walked away from when they were bad. This is a bad deal for America. It's a bad deal for Israel. We ought to leave the talks now.
Even if Congress is at odds with President Obama over a nuclear deal with Iran, is there a strategy, though, that you all have to block the deal? Because based on a previous law, it seems that Congress is pretty powerless to do anything.
You know, we passed legislation out of the Foreign Relations Committee that allows the Congress to file a resolution of disapproval against an action of the president. It would take a majority vote to pass that. If he vetoed it, it would take a two-thirds supermajority to override his veto. We have the votes to do that, and yes, I think the Congress can force him to be accountable.
Well, that was my next question. You believe you have the votes to do that?
We do.
Senator Isakson, on the issue of the U.S. renewing diplomatic relations with Cuba, you're quoted as saying this administration seems to always negotiate what the other side wants first. That's from the July 1st issue of the Albany Herald. Now, what is your objection to this renewed relationship with Cuba?
You just hit the quote nail on the head. I mean, we have human rights issues, we have political prisoner issues, we have the properties of former Cubans who fled to South Florida when the Castros came in that have never been reconciled. We have lots and lots of policy issues with the Cubans. It seems like to me that if we want to grant diplomatic immunity, diplomatic relations with Cuba, we ought to do so based on something we get in return, not just based in giving Cuba what they want. And as recently as 2 days ago, less than 2 weeks after opening the embassy down there, they're now saying they want to get Guantanamo Bay back and all the property that goes with it. That's the type of stuff that should have been discussed prior to any agreement of reestablishing relationships. I'm very disappointed the administration has chosen to give Cuba first what it wants without remaining in negotiations for us.
Whether that happened first or not, do you see that the U.S. is getting anything out of this deal?
Nobody's told me what we're getting unless the president considers the savings he'll have by not having to spend some of the money we've spent to enforce the sanctions against Cuba, but that's a pretty lame reason to do what he's done.
We're speaking with Georgia Republican Senator Johnny Isakson, and Senator Isakson, a little closer to home, you all, several members of Georgia's U.S. House of Representatives delegation, you all are calling for, I guess, a federal review of a proposal that was going to construct a new, what you call a costly new training center in Virginia, instead of using one right here in Georgia. What's going on with that?
Well, it's been an ongoing battle. You know, you have FLETC in Georgia, which is the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center, but you also have a privately done training center for emergencies and disasters in the Middle Georgia area near Perry, which is available also. And to build something new in Virginia or Maryland or use that when you already have the best facility in the world as a law enforcement training center and the other center near Perry, it's just ridiculous. So we think that it's time that we ought to look at the assets that we already have and utilize those assets appropriately.
Few things in Georgia are more important than transportation to pretty much everybody. Talking about the Highway Trust Fund, July 31st is the deadline to reauthorize funding. Is Congress stumped in figuring out how to pay for this?
I have seen no indication from leadership that they have a consensus around funding and extending and developing what we have to do, which is a new funding source for the Highway Trust Fund. And until we find that new source and get a consensus around it, I think you're going to continue to see short-term extensions of the trust fund, which does nobody any good at all because it doesn't produce any new funding and revenue for the continuing depreciation and obsolescence of our roads. But I have, to answer to your specific question, I've not seen any. I'm going to a meeting which may change that in a few minutes, but up till now, this call, I've seen no indication there's a consensus around a new foreign funding formula for the trust fund.
And Senator, we realize that you're short of time here because you have to go and get to that vote, but you have said it's time for No Child Left Behind. You're not the only one. But you're also part of supporters who want to replace it with Every Child Achieves. Can you give me a few points as to why that's a better replacement?
Well, No Child, I helped write No Child Left Behind, and it did what it was supposed to do, but we all knew when we signed that conference committee report that if we didn't reauthorize it at the end of 6 years and take the benefits that we gained from it, it would become a negative rather than a positive, because the formula, once you start making annual yearly progress, you start bumping up against a ceiling, which causes you to be called a needs improvement school when you're in fact doing better than you've ever done before. For 7 years, Congress, for various reasons, sometimes political, others a lack of focus, has not reauthorized the Elementary and Secondary Education Act.
Mm-hmm.
And every state in the country is now operating under a bunch of federal waivers. And we don't need the federal government running the local board of education or the local school system. So what Every Child Student Achieves does is it keeps the good parts of No Child Left Behind, the disaggregation of all students by ethnicity, by race, by sex, by disability, things of that nature. It keeps assessment, but leaves it to the state level to determine what those assessments are and how many of them are done. It opens new opportunities for assisted technology for those with developmental disabilities, and et cetera. It does a lot of good things and gets rid of the things in No Child Left Behind that have served us well but need to be replaced. So I'm working very hard to see that every student achieves ends up passing to Congress this week.
Is there language, though, that would support for those low-performing schools? Because part of this means federal funding would actually follow the student from a low-performing school to a high-performing one. So doesn't that kind of starve schools that desperately need the money to begin with?
To the contrary, it has a provision that has asked each state to identify its 5% of its schools that are its lowest performing students and affords federal aid and assistance to bring those students and those schools off the bottom.
Okay.
I want to make sure we touch quickly on the VA. It's in the middle of another funding crisis. Wait times are proving hard to reduce. As chair of the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee, what do you make of all of these chronic, serious problems?
Well, there's a real crisis within the Veterans Administration, and it's an attitude crisis, among other things. I mean, this second largest employer of the federal government is the Veterans Administration Health Services. The largest employer is the entire military, so it's a huge monolithic organization. It is not running well. Quite frankly, there have been, from Phoenix to Raleigh to Denver to Atlanta, there have been problems over the past 2 years in terms of access for veterans, mental health services, the cooking of the books in terms of appointments in order to get raises, which was unconscionable and happened in Phoenix. We are systematically going through the VA and trying to fix that and fix it for permanently so that we have better attitudes by the members serving our veterans. We have less wait times, more use of the private sector, and more enhancement and investment in VA health services where it's necessary. But it's going to take some time.
Mm-hmm.
But every time you have an incident like what took place last weekend in the Oakwood Clinic in Gainesville, Georgia, where a veteran who was eligible for service was denied service and not even allowed to make an appointment and not told of any alternative and sent out who was having mental health difficulties, that is unconscionable, and it shows a poor attitude on part of the Veterans Administration employees. Not all, but by some, but some can give all a black eye and a bad name. And we're trying to do everything we can to see to it. They start serving the veteran first. They start doing it in a timely fashion. Our veterans can be compensated for the losses they've had, and do everything we can to see to it the private sector is there available to the Veterans Administration as an augmentation or a supplement or a force multiplier for their services. They can meet every veteran's needs.
Senator Isaacson, we appreciate you taking the time. Some time ago, you announced you've been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. Just wanted to know, how are you doing, Senator?
I'm doing great. Doing my exercises every day, taking my medicine, doing great. Looking forward to many more years of service to the people of Georgia.
Well, Senator Johnny Isaacson, we appreciate you taking the time, and go ahead and get your vote in.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Take care. Thank you.
Bye-bye.